Our number is down a lot. I guess we attribute a lot of that to vacation and sickness. So, but anyway, we're glad to see everybody here this morning. Got a real simple lesson this morning, and it may not take too long, so y'all be excited about that. I know that. But anyway, as we see on the board here, it says, we are what we eat. And in many ways, what we eat becomes a part of us, and sometimes it shows. Now, in the natural world, we know this is true. And so these things benefit us. We may not become a Big Mac. We may not become a pizza. But what is in the sandwich and the pizza does affect us in several ways. We know that. And so we do need to eat for nutrition, to keep up the body. And so we do that. And of course, sometimes what we eat helps us to grow as well. And I've always loved to eat. You guys know that. You've seen me pack it down. But anyway, I've never turned into anything except extremely full. And yes, I have grown and shrunk over the years. And we know that happens. It is up to us to keep the junk to a minimum. Some people try and survive on junk alone. Remember several years ago, there was a movie came out called Super Size Me. A man decided he was going to eat a Big Mac meal every day for, I think, a month. And he documented these things and showed what happened to his body by eating this junk. And so it wasn't very healthy for him. And so, yes, junk food may be tasty, it may be good, but it's not always good for us. We need to balance our meals out. Common sense tells us that, and we should be doing that. And, of course, we put other things into our bodies that are not good for us, like tobacco and drugs and so forth. And those things harm our bodies. As we read in our scripture reading down there, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? I mean, let's realize this. If we don't take care of our bodies, we are doing something detrimental to the body that God gave us. And it is wrong. So whether it's tobacco, whether it's smoking or chewing, whatever you do with it, it's not good for you. I mean, why do they have this little warning on the package says, this causes cancer? Cancer is a sickness. It is a disease that attacks and destroys. And, of course, what else also attacks and destroys but Satan? Satan attacks and destroys. John 10:10 tells us that. And so, these things harm our bodies. And sometimes, yes, we do take medicine of different sorts, but yet we can also abuse that medicine. There's a big crisis going on in this country about opioids. In other words, pain pills. And people have gotten hooked on pain pills, and many people die every day from the abuse of pain pills. And these people got to have it so badly, they actually hurt themselves. I watched a video where a guy took a big sledgehammer, put his hand down, and whacked his hand so that he could go to the doctor and get some more pain pills. I mean, that's pretty sad. But these people get addicted to it. And all the drugs, the illegal drugs that are out there, there's a reason that they're illegal, is because they're not good for you. And yet, there's a lot of things which our society has determined, well, it's okay. So they put it into law, say, it's okay to smoke marijuana. It's okay to smoke cigarettes. It's okay to drink alcohol. But the problem is, all of those things impair ourselves. They impair our judgment. They really put a harm on our bodies, which we really don't pay attention to. Most people don't pay attention to it because it may be many years down the road before anything develops, like cancer or stuff like that. And, of course, the breathing problems that are associated with it. And then, of course, if you're hooked on pain pills, your body's just going to go crazy and do some crazy things just because it wants those opioids. But folks, I got to remind you, the Bible says our bodies are the temple of God, and we've got to honor those bodies. We've got to protect them because God is inside me. And we need to look at it that way. This is the home where God dwells. Yes, He dwells in our heart, in our mind. But this is where our God dwells in us, in our bodies. And if we are hurting our bodies and causing harm to our bodies, it's just wrong. It's just plain wrong. So keep that in mind. And if you have family members that smoke and drink and take the drugs and everything, tell them how that is not good at all. But as you guessed, we're not here to discuss food of that type or things like that. Yes, what we put into ourselves is important, but we are here to discuss spiritual matters. And as we look at this in 1 Corinthians 3, verses 1 and 2, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual men, but as to men of flesh, as to babes in Christ. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you are not yet able to receive it. Indeed, even now, you are not yet able." The Corinthians had a lot of problems. And one of the biggest problems they had was the world was involved with them. They were involved with the world. They weren't ready to give up the world. And so Paul had to chastise them and talk to them about these things. And so he says, "When I started out, I gave you the very basics." You know, we read about those basics in 1 Peter 2 in verse 1 and 2, when it talks about putting away the filth of the flesh, long for the pure milk of the word, which is able to save your souls. So yes, we long for the pure milk of the word, whereby we may grow. We are supposed to grow. If we had a baby and it did not grow, first thing we'd be doing is running down to the doctor or the pediatrician and say, "My baby's not growing." And, well, let's examine. And they start running tests and find out, why isn't this baby growing? Because that's what they're supposed to do. When we have babes in Christ who are not growing, I mean, there's a problem there. And yet some people are satisfied just to exist without growing. And so that is a problem. God wants us to grow. He commands us to grow. 2 Peter 3:18, "Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." So we are commanded to grow in spiritual matters. And so we are to do this. And so we need to develop ourselves, as the Hebrew writer says, instead of just partaking of milk, we need spiritual food, strong food, and we need to be able to digest that food. In other words, we need to be able to understand it. Some people have been in the church 50 years and they're still a babe. And for myself, I don't think God would be pleased with me if I stayed in that condition. We are commanded to grow. If we don't constantly grow on a regular basis, then we have a problem. And you never can learn too much, because the more you learn, the more you realize there's so much that I don't know. So we have to keep learning. We have to keep studying. Now, we know that we eventually become what we eat in so many different ways. Now, I am what I eat. What does it mean? Well, we can see this in the natural world. As people grow up, people develop different things. The person who's prone to eating a lot of candy in their youth usually becomes a diabetic in their older age. And then there's other things. Like I said, the cigarettes, they may smoke cigarettes for a long time, but then they say, "Well, I'm going to quit cigarettes." Next thing you know, they've got cancer and they're dead. I worked with several people that as soon as they retired, they said, "Well, I'm going to give up cigarettes." And in 3 months, they were dead. Cancer killed them. And of course, I'm sure it was developing a long time for that to happen. But still, what people put into their bodies does affect them. And so, and we can see this. We know the way our world operates, they expect, let's say, places like McDonald's to make money for their shareholders. One way of making money is by injecting the cattle with growth hormones. And then, of course, everybody eats those sandwiches and they're getting exposed to these growth hormones. just use this. When I was growing up, young ladies did not start developing and showing until they were in high school. Nowadays, third and fourth graders are popping out. And you got to know, it's got to be something that has changed in the diets of these people. What are they eating? McDonald's. They love the Golden Arches. And some kids, that's all they eat. And it's either McDonald's or it's Wendy's or something, but they're always eating these. And they're not getting a good balanced meal at home. And so, yes, that does happen. So I believe it means I am what I put into my heart and my mind. So if I am putting filth in on a continual basis, I become what I ingest. Now, I may be talking about junk food, may be talking about growth hormones, stuff like that, but there's a spiritual application here. And pay attention to this very carefully. See, Jesus told us the very same thing. In Matthew 15, verses 17 through 20, Jesus said, "Do you not understand that everything that goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is eliminated? But the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and those defile the man. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, slanders. These are the things which defile the man. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile the man." And that's true. It does not. If you're eating with unwashed hands. And of course, he had to say this because his disciples were grabbing corn, shucking them, and just eating the corn right there in the field. And the Pharisaical leaders had their rules about washing hands. And it didn't fit their thoughts. So Jesus had to tell them this. See, we can do this with anything we are indulging in. And yes, you can overindulge. You might think, okay, well, I'm not going to drink alcohol, but I'll drink Coca-Cola or Pepsi-Cola or something like that. You can drink that to excess too. And of course, there's a lot of sugar going in there, so diabetes, here you come. So keep that in mind. But anyway, we're indulging in all day long, we're indulging in television, internet, video games, violence, sports, recreation, and so on. You see these. The movies these days, if they don't have violence, if they don't have foul language, if they don't have someone taking advantage of someone else, and things like that, they're not going to make it at the box office. And Hollywood knows that. They keep giving us filth and garbage. And the television stations, the television networks, they're giving us the same filth and garbage. There's a show coming out called The Purge. Have you heard about that? Yeah. Basically, one night a year, there's no such thing as crime. People do what they want. They go out and murder, steal, cheat, rape, you name it. And it's okay. See, that's what the world wants. The world wants to eliminate our rules. And whatever God says, they don't like that at all. And so, that's why they give us this garbage. And so we watch the television, and it's garbage. Every show on now has gay characters. Every show that is on there has something that is evil. That is certainly, there's no wholesome entertainment around that you can see. Now, you might get the old reruns of Andy Griffith and The Beaver and watch things like that, and you'll have some wholesome entertainment. But the stuff that's out there now is not good. And even on the football game, you watch a football game, you're going to, if they have the mics turned on, you're going to hear some pretty nasty stuff. And if they have, and they might be showing people being disrespectful and basically showing hatred. And that's not wholesome entertainment either. Most video games, you're either stealing a car or you're killing somebody in combat. And of course, there's a few of the kiddie games. Donkey Kong was all right. And Mario Brothers is okay. They're not out there killing people to get their objective. But you go into the stores and look down on your video games. Warcraft. empires or whatever. And how do you get your empires? Because you conquer others. It's not any good. People get involved in recreation. And there's nothing wrong with recreation in its proper place, but some people, their recreation is more important than God. And they're doing these things. And it just goes on and on. And even our family and friends have an effect upon us. All of them do, in one way or another. And sometimes it's painful, sometimes they're an encouragement to us, but sometimes they're not. We have to be careful about those we hang around with. 1 Corinthians 15:33 tells us, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. Bad company corrupts good morals. You might think you're a fine, upstanding citizen, but if you hang around a bad guy, guess what? Your reputation is going to be tarnished for no other reason than your association with an individual. We see that all the time because a person is associated with someone else. Whether they did anything wrong or not, it's the assumption is they're a wicked, evil, corrupt person. We see that in politics all the time. And so we have to be careful who we hang around and spend our time with. Now, if we hang around Christians, as we're commanded to do, in Hebrews 10:25, if we hang around Christians, then our behavior is going to be admirable. It is going to be excellent. It is going to be without spot or blemish. But if we're hanging around people of the world, if we acted without spot or blemish, what would they do? I'll tell you what they'll do. They'll make fun of you. And they'll castigate you and say bad things about you and lie about you. And they will try and tempt you. Oh, come on, just one beer. There's nothing wrong with one beer. Or go ahead and take this pill. It'll make you feel good. And they're going to test you in any way possible. Basically, so that you will falter from your faith. The reason they do that is because they'll feel good because they know they're not people of faith and they still want to feel good about themselves. So if you deny your faith, it makes them feel justified in their own minds. See, every way of man is right in his own eyes. Proverbs 16:25 tells us that. And so be careful the people you hang around with. Now, sometimes we have to work with people and we have no control over that. But we still need to try and get along with them. And we also need to be a shining light to them. We need to set an example for them. Or you don't have to curse and scream and throw things around if you're not happy. I mean, that's the way of this world. But you can get your job done without saying a curse word. You can get your job done without saying nasty, dirty jokes. It can be done. And some people are able to do that. But a lot of times, we just want to feel accepted by everybody else. We just got to join in their foul mouth, their potty mouth, and all that stuff. Friends, that's not what God wants us to do. See, if we're taking in bad stuff, that's eventually what's going to be demonstrated in our lives. Because like I say, if we're hanging around these bad people, just because we're hanging around them, guess what? This guy has a record, that person has a record, we're just hanging around now. Oh, I'm nice, squeaky clean. But guess what? When the policeman comes by, he's going to look at you and see who you're hanging around with, see who your associates are, and he's going to form in his mind, okay, bad dude here. I mean, that's just natural. It's going to be that way. Gets a lot of people in trouble that way also. See, Paul told the Corinthians they were not ready for solid food. They were still living in the world and were still worldly. See, when people hear the truth of God's word, it kind of steps on their toes. It kind of touches their heart. Okay, I'm not really living up to the expectation God has of me. So instead of being honest, say, well, I need to change my ways, Well, I don't like that preacher. He steps on my toes too much. Well, if you're living the way God wants you to live, your toes are not getting stepped on. It's just that simple. See, Paul was telling them they were not following God's commands, and they needed to live God's way and to follow the example of Jesus. Jesus is our perfect example. He gave us the example and the way that we need to live. And what we learn from Jesus is God comes first in everything. God is the most important thing in any of our lives. And that's what Jesus taught us. And he demonstrated that because that's what he did. Everything he did according to what the Father told him to do. Everything he spoke exactly what the Father told him to say. And so when Jesus speaks, we better be listening because those are the very words of God. He was telling these Corinthians, okay, put away the worldliness, get the sin out of your lives. It's time to start serving God. It's time to start studying God's Word and learning God's Word and then living God's Word. It was time to put spiritual discipline into their lives. We know what discipline is. It is training. When we have spiritual discipline, we train ourselves to study God's Word, to make sure we know what God's Word says, to make sure we don't violate God's Word. See, a lot of people, they don't even study God's Word to find out what's in it. They're doing things that they have no idea God doesn't like. And that's the way most of this world is, because most of the world is ignorant of the Bible. In order to discipline ourselves, and we hear that word a lot, don't we? Especially in the sports and recreation, you got to discipline yourself. What does that mean? You got to watch what you eat. Eat the right kind of food. You got to practice. You need to do your workouts, and you need to follow the rules, and a lot of things like that. That's what discipline is, getting us there. In the workplace, when we issue discipline, it's to modify behavior. That's all it is. When you discipline someone, first of all, they're not doing what is expected of them, and so you warn them. Okay, we're going to show you how to do this right. If you continue not to do it right, we don't need you. See, most companies, they really, in order to be profitable, they've got to do a project one time. Whenever they have to go back and redo a project, they're losing money. And so, that's why discipline is needed, to make sure everybody is in line. And that's why in the family, discipline is important, to train up a child in the way they should go. And then when they're old, they will not depart from it. A lot of times we just let the children go and do what they want to do. And yes, eventually, when they leave home, they're going to do what they want to do. And they won't have much time for God. We also need this spiritual discipline today. Paul talked about it then. We still need the same things. And we can get it from God's Word. That's where we need to be. Let me tell you about a great meal. And when you start thinking about a great meal, you might think, okay, Texas Roadhouse, they got some great ribs up there. I mean, very good. And their sweet potatoes are outstanding. The rolls are just, so good. Too many carbs, but they're still so good. But it's not about steak or fish or vegetables served with dessert. Let's start off with some fruit. The meal is the Word of God in the Bible. And what a meal for the mind and the heart. Think about that. The Bible is more than filling, and it has a lifetime of nourishment. It's there for us, for our souls. This is a feast where I want to be what I eat. Imagine dining on the fruit of the Spirit, in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I mean, what better meal can you take in? And if you can become those things, if you can be a person of love, which we are all commanded to be, if you are to have joy, which we're all commanded to have, if you can have peace, peace with God and peace with yourself. I mean, if you can learn to be patient, that's one of the problems in this world, is everybody wants something now. They don't want to wait. And then showing kindness to others. That's a rare quality around here, isn't it? In fact, whenever someone does show an act of kindness, everybody, wow, let's call the news crew. We see an act of kindness. I mean, that's something that's rare these days. Downright goodness is rare. Faithfulness to God. Yeah, people make fun of people who are faithful to God. But yet we need to be gentle with others, not harsh with them. And yes, we need to keep ourselves under control, self-control. Don't let ourselves go wild. Think about it. This is a 9-course meal that will let me be a mature Christian with the Holy Spirit dwelling inside me, directing my life. That's how we need to look at this kind of meal. So after dining and feeding my heart, mind, and soul on this stuff, on this fare, what I become benefits all I come in contact with and brings glory to God. That's what we're supposed to be doing, bringing glory to God. So let's take in God's Word and make it a part of us. See, another feast from God's Word can be found, 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 7. It says, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, does not boast, is not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Now you talk about a meal, that's God's definition of love. And that's what we need to take into ourselves. So, whom should I love this way? Everybody, including God. According to God, I'm to treat everyone this way, even my enemies. See, this stuff is tasty. I hope you're enjoying it as much as I am. And it is solid. It is solid food. This is what God wants us to have. He wants us to go get away from the milk and the pablum and work ourselves to where we can ingest solid food. See, there is a whole Bible filled with information to live by. There's a whole manual in the Bible on how I can live. That's what the Bible is. It is our instruction. In fact, that's the word Bible, B-I-B-L-E, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. That's what it is for us. In it, there is a compass, a GPS to show me the direction my life is going or the way my life should be going. It tells us that in the Bible. So if we take the Bible in, we become what we eat, what we take in, what we ingest, what we put into our mind. Let's face it, if there was a program and a way to become a millionaire, lots of people would attend that seminar and they would take notes and they would follow the instructions to the best of their ability. But how about eternal life? Salvation? Adventure, drama, romance, poetry, espionage. These are just a few of the topics in the Bible. Everything about life we have in the Bible. Sadly, just the words Bible study and small group study sounds boring to some. And you'll agree with me there. Oh, that doesn't sound boring. Who wants to study the Bible? People who love the Lord want to study the Bible. The Bible can also be studied on your own. You realize that? You can take the time to study it yourself. And really, we're told to do that. Why? So that we can be approved by God. 2 Timothy 3:15 tells us that. So there is a feast waiting to be eaten, to be taken in. And the question is, are you hungry for that feast? Are you willing to take it and then apply these things to yourself and then become what God wants you to become? God wants you to become a child of God. He wants you to become a Christian by believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He wants you to recognize that your sins have made a separation between you and Him, and you need to change your ways. You need to put those sins away. Repentance means to change direction, to turn around and go the other way. One living in sin got to turn around and stop living in sin. That's what repentance is, that's what's involved in repentance. And then confessing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. I mean, that's important also, to confess His name. And that's something we should be doing every day of our life. Letting the world know that Jesus is my Lord and I'm living according to His rules. Become a part of this, you have to become a part of His body. And that's through baptism. Baptism washes away our sins, puts us into the body, which is His church. Puts us into the church. And then that begins our spiritual journey. When you think about it, that's just the beginning process. After that, our object is to grow. It is to grow and to mature as faithful children of God. Not everybody has taken those steps that are necessary. But we offer the invitation to you to consider those things. And if you're ready and willing to put Jesus and God first in your life, we stand ready to help you and assist you and pray for you and whatever you need. We certainly invite everyone to come while together we stand and sing.